views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
You know that moment when you realize you have mastered your wellness, when you've become so resilient you can conquer any hiccup life throws you. Yeah, well, me either. But I still ride unicorns. I'll teach you how to become a mindset master. You will learn how your habits and behavior affect your success in nutrition, exercise, relationships, organization, and so much more. It's your reality, and you need to do it your way. Self-care and self-love are anything but selfish. Take charge. Get excited. If not now, then when? Grab your espresso and get ready to talk all things wellness. It's time for Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with Coach Peggy Wellness right now. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Couch and Coffee Radio here on Transformation Talk Radio. I am so excited for today. Today is part one of a two-part series, and we're airing the first part, obviously, today, which is April 15th, and then we're going to air the second part in 2 weeks on April 29th, and we're talking about the stress mess, whether adrenaline and cortisol are friend or foe. So we're going to talk about that with my special guest, endocrinologist, Dr. Marcus Vetstein. So I want to let you know you can watch the podcast on my website at 3wellnesspillars.com, or you can visit Transformation Talk Radio at transformationtalkradio.com. So I hope you guys have filled up your favorite mug. You know how I do this, everybody. I think, Dr. Vetstein, you have your mug?
I do.
Oh, right here. What do you have in your mug?
In my mug? Oh, I think there's a dead Mexican mosquito.
Hey, protein. We're all about protein. That's awesome. Okay, you guys, that's fantastic. So I have mine and I have decaf because today we're talking about stress. So I'm going to actually listen to my doc here and have some decaf so I can sleep tonight. All right. Everybody, April is Stress Awareness Month. You've seen some of my shows this month. I wanted to take a different twist to stress. However, having my pal here, Dr. Vetstein, on, we are going to get some content out to you, some education out to you that we are very excited about. I think it's going to make a difference to you. You're going to resonate with it. Let me give an intro. Dr. Vetstein was born and raised in Germany. He graduated from Ross University School of Medicine, and came to the United States in 1989. I think that's when the German wall came down, isn't it?
Marcus?
Yeah, it was. I was living over there for 4 years.
Impressed.
Yeah,
you got
and,
it.
Yeah, and so he started his first endocrinology practice on the East Coast in 1995. Then he moved to Grand Junction, Colorado in 2009, where he started his full-time practice. He has right now, super busy, and believe it or not, we are coming up on our 10-year anniversary together. Did you know that?
10 years, man. And look what you've done about it. Oh, my goodness. You have your own radio show? You're just a bomb, dear.
I miss you so much. So Dr. Vetstein and I, we actually go way back. I was his office manager back in 2009. That's how we met. I managed his endocrinology clinic in Grand Junction, Colorado. And so we have gotten together. I'm so excited to have you here. Are you excited to be here?
Yes, absolutely. Always ready to share the knowledge, you know? It's important. This topic is a very important topic, so I think it's going to be fun.
It is. It is going to be good. So we are going to talk about, we're going to get kicked off here. There are some levels of stress Dr. Vetstein is going to talk about. We're going to also talk about how the body reacts with stress. And then whether we get to it very deep today, we're going to for sure get to it in our part two on, you know, what are we going to do about it? It's one thing to know about stress, but what in the heck are we going to do about it? So when, and I always call him Marcus, you guys. It's not disrespectful.
Please do.
We kind of are like that, listeners. So I wanted to just throw something at you. We were kind of chatting the other day, and I was saying, you know, I've always taught my clients that our body kind of reacts similarly, whether it's good stress or bad stress. And I want to talk more about what I see with my clients and you with your patients. But can you first start us off with what's the definition even of stress? Talk to us about that.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on radio. My goodness, I'm so anxious and stressed out, you wouldn't believe.
Oh, no, don't be stressed out.
Anyways, yes, as a doc, you know, I have to burden people with definitions. So let me give you the definition of stress. Let me see if I resurrect it here. So I read it off, you know. Stress is a state of mental or emotional strain or tension resulting from adverse or very demanding circumstances. Mm-hmm. I hate definitions, but it is the truth. There is some demanding circumstances, they trigger us, and then comes the reaction to it. And that is what we're talking about.
Absolutely. So, you know, I'm de-stressing.
Is that coffee in there? Cheers. Because that won't work to de-stress you.
It's my decaf. I love my mug because this one turns dark if it's hot liquid, and it turns colors if it's cold. So obviously dark, isn't that crazy? One of my many unicorn mugs. Okay, so here's my thought. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the different levels. So you've got, my understanding is you have like three levels that you want to chat about with stress. Mm-hmm. And so talk to us about what they are and what the different levels are, and then we can go into some of my thoughts on what I say to my clients, whether it's right or wrong.
We're going to absolutely talk
about it. Okay.
No problem.
So hit me up.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, you know, it's usually like this. If I don't understand something, I'm trying to put it into little bins to make sense of it. Right. And when I try to do that with stress, which is a very hot topic and it's a lot of material, I got confused. There's a lot of people out there that are talking in stress terms with regards to different topics. And the problem of that is then that you wind up confusing everybody. So everybody knows about stress, but nobody really knows exactly what's going on. So what I did is I separated into three phases. Now, the first phase would be the acute phase, and that's what the system is designed for. It's basically lasting minutes to hours or so. And that type of stress is actually a good stress. And we're going to get into that. After that comes the chronic stress. And I did change, subdivide chronic stress into the initial phase, which is compensatory. So the patient, I say patient, I'm sorry.
No. That's folks exactly are basically,
patient trying to get back into a normal state. So that's a resistance state, chronic stress in a resistance phase. And then when that lasts too long, then there's the burnout phase. So I say acute stress, chronic stress with, you know, compensation, so to say, and then the chronic stress burnout.
Okay, this is awesome. So let me tell you what I usually run through for my clients. And so what I see, obviously, most of my clients are overweight. I do have some under eaters that I work with, and we're trying to gain some weight, obviously, and some that are in maintenance, but not many people call me and go, "Hey, Peggy, I'm in maintenance. Can't wait to work with you again."
Right.
You know, unless they're training for something. But most of my clients are overweight. And so I see them come back and come back and come back. And, you know, you and I have been sharing some of the, you know, talking about this topic, and it's stress, but it's been hidden under this woohoo thing. You know, you've got to de-stress and, you know, do some yoga, whatever. We're going to talk about that later. But most of the time it's get a massage, light some candles, you know, to try to calm the mindset stuff with stress. Mm-hmm. And so what I try to explain to my clients is that, you know, we need some stress. There's kind of good stress and bad stress frustrates me, because bad stress kind of, that's just what we think it is that stress is bad. And so usually what I say to my clients is that sometimes the body doesn't really know the difference between it. And what I don't mean in the physiological sense like you do, but it's just like your body will get tense. Mm-hmm. Even if it's a wedding, like I'm getting married, you know, or I'm losing my house. So you've got your body, blood pressure goes up. You know, you might sleep, you might not sleep, you might eat, you might not eat, you might work out, you might not work out. So as a coach, I'm just like, hey, we've got to figure out, it's kind of subjective, can be objective with stress, but we've got to figure out how we can cope and, you know, kind of what the source is.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be long term? So, I mean, can we talk through, you know, my thought on that, and then you kind of go into the different types. So,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, most of the folks that we get in contact with are in that chronic stage. They're not in the, the acute stage anymore. And that's where they leave behind the good aspects of the stress response. That's the acute phase. And that's only in the acute phase.
Right.
Once you set into the chronic stage, it's all pretty much negative. Mm-hmm. It's starting to, your body is trying to compensate for stuff. So let me just get into that maybe a little bit and and talk about these phases. So when we're talking about the acute alarm phase, that is basically when adrenaline comes out. Lots of people know it as the fight and flight response.
Right.
So when you get an acute stressor, like, you know, you hear the roar of a lion behind you, mm-hmm. you're ready to, you know, show ass and elbows, so to say, right?
Right.
So the body is going to have to prep for that. And the way it does that is give you an adrenaline boost. And we all know that that's the thing when we get startled, you know? The stress response starts that way. And what that is designed to do, essentially, is to get your brain going and in gear so that you're focusing and not being distracted. That is also increasing muscle blood flow through so that you have the ability to get going if you need to.
Right.
So what adrenaline also does is it shuts down all the things that are not important in those circumstances. And that would be, for instance, something like digestion. You don't need to digest while you're trying to save your life, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Something like sex drive and so on. These things are absolutely not necessary. You just shut them down. Adrenaline will do that in conjunction with cortisol, which is the second player coming out of the adrenal gland. That player is a little bit longer acting, so it is not responsible for the startle reaction, but for instance, bringing some glucose into the bloodstream so that when the muscles are ready and have to go, there is energy available. So
exactly.
That's one of the things that cortisol does. And then the other thing it does is it blocks the uptake of that sugar into a lot of different organ systems that are not needed at the time. And that so that there's more sugar available for the brain. Mm-hmm. And that kind of process so that the brain stays alert, right? So sugar availability for the muscles and for the brain, that is the cortisol job. And then cortisol also has a job later on after the stress is over. Supposedly, there are some repair functions that cortisol does as well.
So before you go on, just so I can understand, maybe one listener doesn't understand either. I just want to make sure, is the adrenaline our friend at that point in time?
In the acute phase, both of them, adrenaline and cortisol, are there to do what they need
their
to
job.
Get us out of trouble. That's basically what their job is.
Okay, perfect.
The problem comes in when it's a prolonged stress. And I mentioned before that it's minutes to hours. So if you have stress, and unfortunately most of us do, that mm-hmm. is prolonged, then you wind up with these effects that I just outlined having an impact. So in other words, you're going to wind up with sleep problems, for instance, because that adrenaline keeps you up. With that comes poor memory. And with all of that, you get to start having to deal with anxieties. And these anxieties are really our worst enemy because they perpetuate the stress response. So you trigger with the stress an anxiety reaction when it's a little too prolonged. That anxiety will then feed that cycle and keep it going. That's our big problem. So anxiety needs to be looked at very much when you're
especially if the source doesn't change. You know,
if it keeps on triggering you and that anxiety keeps on being fed, you will never get out of that vicious cycle.
Exactly.
And the vicious cycle basically then continues into the chronic phase. And I mentioned there's the resistance phase, and that's what I call resistance phase because I'm working with a lot of diabetics, and insulin resistance is a huge topic in that. It gives you pre-diabetes and later on diabetes. That kind of problem is exacerbated by this chronic stress situation because, like I say, the the body designs the sugar not to go into all these organs that chronically do need their food supply. So there needs to be a compensation for this. The body needs to overpower that, and that means that you raise your insulin level to overcome that resistance. So when you raise insulin, you can't lose weight.
Right.
Insulin is a fat release blocker. The way we work is if you are hungry, the insulin level is low, the fat cells will give up their content and it will be changed into sugar. So the fat cells will release those ketone bodies and then it will be turned to sugar and the problem of starvation is fixed. If you have high insulin levels, you can't do that.
So the frustration is, if I hear you correctly, and we've chatted about this, is that you could have your diet right on spot,
right.
Your exercise nailing it. You know, I've got so many clients that, you know, and I coach virtually and I try to get into their real world. But the reality is I have to take their word. Are they working out 5 days a week? Are they eating kale? You know, but if you don't see the success.
We both know that there are a lot of cheaters.
I know. I talked to somebody on a show last night and they said, well, what's the most amazing thing that's happened after 30 years? And I said, that the people still lie. We still lie. We lie to ourselves and you lie to me. Drives me crazy.
But, be surprised after all these years about that one.
That's actually quite true. The lies are pretty funny. But this does help hopefully bring some, I don't know if it's going to be excitement or hope to people, but the fact that, you know, for those of everybody that's frustrated out there, when you're nailing your diet, when you're nailing, you're still working out and the weight's not coming off. If we can shift it seriously, science is backing us on this, that if we can cope with this chronic stress, you know, quit the job that's driving you crazy. I hate to say it, but potentially there's relationships, there's jobs. Or is that what you're saying, is that those chronic stresses are keeping the weight on?
That are making us seriously sick. So let me continue with this.
Absolutely.
More stuff, okay, if you're ready for it.
Born ready. That's why I love you. These conversations we used to have in the lunchroom.
You know, I was going to get into the metabolism because that gets slowed down as well with chronic stress. And, you know, the metabolism is governed by the thyroid. And a lot of people are dabbling in the thyroid. And I'm a thyroidologist. And a lot of people have a misunderstanding of that. So how we do that in an acute stress situation is we change T4, which is one of the thyroid hormones, into reverse T3 instead of T3. Reverse T3 is not active, so that our metabolism is not fueled by T3 anymore, and it will slow down. That gives you resources to deal with the stress. So in other words, you know, you need the metabolism to slow down. For instance, when we're sick, people feel tired and they want to go to bed. That's because the metabolism slows down to give you the energy to let that immune system fight off whatever is trying to kill you. Okay?
Okay.
So that's where the reverse T3 comes in. And reverse T3 goes up in stressful situations. And so there's a lot of people out there that say, oh, my reverse T3 is up. There's something wrong. Yeah, there's something wrong. You're chronically stressed out, dear. Do something.
Exactly. You know, and I think what I would suspect, what's hard as a physician, is to get into all of that. You know, when you and I were working together, one of the things that we did was to go to a local facility. And this is one of the projects that Dr. Vetstein and I did together, is we took a group full of voluntary patients that we then went to the facility, the gym, and I trained them. And he was the doc on the floor, and we monitored their blood sugars through their workouts when their body was taxed, and we kind of took a peek at all of that stuff. And I suspect in your practice in the clinic, it's probably difficult to get into that detail, that life coaching detail, kind of what's going on at home? How stressed are you? What can we do about that? And that's why it's unfortunate that, you know, health, wellness, and life coaches aren't part of a benefit, that you could work with a physician and us be a team and figure out the stress thing.
It is absolutely
frustrating.
Necessary. You know, I think that our whole country is really suffering from this process. It hasn't been addressed because, unfortunately, the way we are set up, we are generating the stress for ourselves.
Yeah.
It's a sad situation, but we have to deal with it somehow.
You know? Yeah.
And like I mentioned before, the chronic stress and that resistance, you know, you get a lot of GI problems too. Remember, you stop digesting and so on. You can, most often it's constipation, but people get irritable bowel syndrome. They get upset stomachs. They get acid reflux. They get all kinds of stuff with the GI tract. All of that because of the chronic stress, obviously. And so when that stress then goes on over months and years, you're going to wind up burning out. And that's when you get high blood pressure. You get, you know, diabetes, you get a loss of libido. Lots of people complain about a low testosterone in my office. Yeah, when you're stressed out, your testosterone goes down. You don't, like I mentioned, you don't need a sex drive when you have to, you know, get yourself out of a pickle. That's the way that goes with that's the third stage, and that's pretty darned advanced at that point already, absolutely. You know, so something's got to be done, hopefully, on the way there. Going back to the good stress, if you don't mind.
Yes. I'd love to talk about the good stuff. Ride unicorns. Come on, man.
Bring it. That acute phase, right, is minutes to hours. And we are designed to be able to take that kind of stress. And in fact, there were plenty of studies, and one that I ran across in 2017, mm-hmm. actually found that acute stress, through a couple of different mechanisms, grows brain cells. It actually makes for new brain cells. And that is what we did not know all these years. And we always thought, hey, you're doomed when this stuff happens. Mm-hmm. No. Chronic stress can create problems with these brain cells being lost. But if you work on this, you can recover them. And I did not know that either 2 years ago until that study came out. Nobody right. knew that we can regrow brain cells. So this is a very exciting new finding that tells us, no, we're not doomed. Even in the late stages of this absolute stress that is trying to kill us, mm-hmm. we can still turn this thing around. And it's amazing. And so I'm really happy that finally we can offer patients or, you know, anybody a way out of this.
Well, and it affects mental illness. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, I get a lot of patients that have the depression and, you know, mm-hmm. misdiagnosis with certain other mental illnesses and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I would suspect that, you know, the more overweight, the less sex drive, the, you know, you're not working out, you're not eating well, you're looking at comfort foods, all of those things. Then, you know, by doing that, there's the chronic stress of not having confidence to go out and get a great job. You just get settled and it just perpetuates and cyclical to then here comes this depression. Mm-hmm. And it's, so this is exciting that if we can figure out how to cope with this stress, which is part two, when we, you know, everybody, you've got to turn into the April 29th show. But that's what I'm excited about, is to be able to put some of those ideas out there, figure out how we can backtrack a little bit and mm-hmm. I mean, we're not necessarily going to say don't run a marathon and sit around and, you know, just breathe all day. But there has to be more of a balance, especially look at the world today, even with politics. You know, I mean, my clients, I'll tell you what, during election year, I will tell you what, they came running in droves with stress. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. The level of stress, or when there's anything tragic that happens that's in the news, whether there's a shooting or whatever. Mm-hmm. My clients, the weight goes up, the sleep goes down. It's amazing.
Yeah. And
okay, you guys.
Yeah, currently it's so bad that, you know, we even make stress for each other, which is ludicrous.
Law of attraction.
Right? That cycle. You know, this whole Republican and, you know, all that stuff is just why do we need to call ourselves sickness?
And that's going to be exciting to talk about too, is a little bit of that, well, a lot of bit of that law of attraction and that energy. When you hang out with positive people, how you feel better, we can create some boundaries around that and not be affected by that. So we're going to be doing that in part two. Super excited about that. A couple of things, you guys can always reach me at www.3wellnesspillars.com on my website. I'll be having some contact information on there for Dr. Vetstein and field some questions for you and get back in touch with him. You can always get on there and look at some podcasts and shop in my e-commerce store, blog. Have a good time. Get in touch with me. One thing before we go, though, we finish this show up, is I want to just ask you real quickly, is that when you look at the three levels of stress, you did say that acute is about what length of time-ish would you consider?
Minutes to hours. That's it.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
That's all you got, yeah.
So that's a stunt man's job. It's like you jump off the cliff, it's over.
Yeah, exactly. And that is the positive. That is the positive type of stress.
So we all need to skydive. We all need to skydive, Marcus. I'm skydiving.
I'm not into that.
Me either.
Oh, I value my life and my bones are getting a little creaky, you know?
I know, right? I know. But that's eye-opening to know that it's just that short period of time and the rest is chronic right into the resistance phase.
Yeah, and that chronic resistance phase, you obviously only make for damage if this goes on months and years, you know?
Yeah.
So the chronic resistance phase is not as problematic in the beginning stages, but it just gets worse and worse and worse if you don't take care of that stress, those triggers.
And, you know, I work with clients, too, to try to identify their red flags. And so that's the thing that we can kind of chat about in part two. I want to talk about some of the red flags to be able to identify the source. Because, man, if we don't figure out the source, we can't fix it. Sometimes it's the hardest thing if we just keep trying to fix it and we can't figure out. It's like trying to find an allergy. If you don't dissect what things are causing it, fixing the symptoms and swallowing the Benadryl just isn't going to help it. So we talk about red flags, and we also talk about just expecting stress to happen. You know, the good old roller coaster of life, it's just going to happen. So,
and remember that it is positive because then you don't get yourself into that anxiety trap.
No kidding, right? Stay off some meds maybe.
So if you say, okay, this is stressful, but I got this and it will grow me a new brain cell. then you have a better attitude to it.
And absolutely.
You're going to get yourself out of that.
Yep. All right, we're going to get back together. I'm going to have you back for a next part of this show. So I'm going to see you in a couple of weeks. So excited. So everybody.
Looking forward to it.
I cannot thank you enough for being here. You guys, you've been listening to Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with Coach Peggy Wilms. And we're going to be back again on April 29th for part two with Dr. Marcus Vetstein, the stress mess. Adrenaline and cortisol, whether it's friend or foe. And we are going to, you can also get on Transformation Talk Radio, transformationtalkradio.com. So if you have any questions, reach out to me at Coach Peggy at 3wellnesspillars.com. And we will talk with you real soon. Thanks for joining in.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with me, Coach Peggy Wilms. Did you hear something that made you go, or have an aha moment? I live for those. If not, we will get you next time. I will be back every first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific to tough love you to become smarter, stronger, braver, healthier, and happier. Duh. I will be back with a barrel of positivity, and you never know when a guest might pop in. There is no time for excuses. So don't forget to bring your coffee and an open mind as we talk all things wellness on Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with me, Coach Peggy Wilms. Now go grab a ray of sunshine.